Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey everybody, and welcome into episode 2 of Movies with Mike, presented by That Movie Show. I am Mike Wendt, and today I'm going to be talking about Rob Zombie's 3 from Hell. I saw night 2 of the Fathom Events screening last week. It came out September 16th, which was a Monday, and it's an interesting release with 3 from Hell. It was released for 3 nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And there was only one screening per night. So the first night, I believe people got an introduction from Rob Zombie and a commemorative poster. The second night, Tuesday night, which I went to, you got 3 from Hell, and you got 30 minutes of a behind-the-scenes documentary. More on that in a little bit. And then night 3 was a double feature of the Devil's Rejects and 3 from Hell, which was a really cool. I really wish I could have gone to that one, but scheduling was what it was. It was more important for me just to see the movie than to go to the double feature. But it's really cool because it did so well. The movie only had a budget of $3 million, and in just those 3 nights, it made back $2 million and had such a demand for people wanting to buy tickets that Fathom Events has decided to release it for one more night. It's going to be October 14th, which is a Monday night. It's the night before 3 from Hell gets released on Blu-ray and DVD and on demand. And all. Basically, it's a day before you can buy it and put it in your homes and watch it in your homes. It's an interesting way to release a movie. And in 2019, we're seeing a lot of different ways people are releasing movies. This was one of those movies that you're like, when I heard it wasn't getting a wide theatrical release, I'm like, oh, so it's got to be, you know, Netflix is going to pick it up or this or that or the other thing. But it's kind of cool. It makes it kind of unique. For those of us who are diehard fans of the series of movies, of course, House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and now 3 from Hell, it's really cool. And it stimulates that demand for it. It's also, in this day and age, really tough for a smaller movie to first of all make back its money, but second of all make a dent in the box office when you're competing with the likes of the major studios like Disney, you know, having all these Marvel movies coming out, and if you're not a big giant blockbuster type of movie, you'll do okay, but you know, especially this time of year, it's the tail end of summer, heading into fall, and 3 from Hell, I mean, I think for this movie, it's going to do better releasing it this way than it would had they released it, you know, released it wide in theaters and then tried to hold on to it for a month or two and then, you know, followed up with the home video release. But this way, because of diehard fans, it's a couple weeks from Halloween. Everybody wants to get their horror movie fix in October, and putting a brand new horror movie, kind of, I'll get to that in a second, horror movie in homes 2 weeks before Halloween, I think is a really smart move by the distributors. Now what I mean by kind of a horror movie. I went to see it with my brother, and both of us are huge horror movie fans and really big fans of this series, especially Devil's Rejects. I thought it was a great film, and I still to this day say the ending of Devil's Rejects, when they're driving the car and Freebird is playing, it's an amazing ending. It's one of those like perfect blends of music and cinema. And I don't know. It's just, it's one of those really great, great movies that I always go back to, and I'll always be able to rewatch and enjoy. And Three from Hell follows that, but we were talking, my brother and I, after the movie, and we're like, well, it wasn't really a horror movie, but it was really violent. It wasn't a comedy, but there were funny parts to it. He said the only way to describe it was it's just a real dirty movie. And in my opinion, it feels very much like an exploitation film. It feels like one of those old exploitation films of the 70s, where it's kind of a road movie. It's kind of an action movie. It's a very violent movie, but it's also kind of funny. It's a gritty movie. It is a dirty movie. You know, there's a bit of nudity. There's quite a bit of nudity in it, but it's not like we've described on that movie show before, especially last October when we were talking about the nudity in horror movies. And the difference in nudity in horror movies, and this is definitely not happy nudity. it's not sexy nudity by any stretch of the imagination. But the movie was good. It was definitely good. They kept it tight. It's 2 hour long movie, so it doesn't run too long. It didn't feel like a long movie. I'm doing all this before I jump in the spoilers for the back end of this. I would say if you're a fan of this series, try to go see it in the theater, because it's just a cool experience. Because when Avengers Endgame came out, and we were at because the radio show is sponsored by Showcase Cinemas, we helped out with, they were doing a 22 movie Marvel marathon. It was a 3-day event where you'd get a ticket and you basically camp out in a movie theater, and you start at Iron Man and you end at Endgame. And we did it. Sure we did. We popped in and out, but I was there with that group for Endgame. And watching that movie with that group of diehard fans was so cool. It was almost like a sporting event. I mean, people were jumping out of their seats. They're cheering. They're clapping. They're whooping it up. And that was a very similar experience watching Three from Hell with the audience that we watched it with, because these are the diehards. These are people. This isn't a casual Saturday evening dinner and a movie. What are we going to go see? These are people who wanted, who it was important to them to go out and see Three from Hell on the big screen. So if you're even a little bit of a fan and you're like, man, I really wish I could see that in the big screen, October 14th, I highly suggest checking it out. It's definitely going to be a day one Blu-ray buy for me. So it was good. It was good. Without any more non-spoilers. So let's just jump right into spoilers, okay? The big one, what a lot of people talked about in the promotional material, the trailer, the poster, every step of the way, was Sid Haig's involvement in the movie. Because in the trailers, he's not really in it. And he's not one of the three main sets of eyes on the poster. He was on the poster, but he was in a very small little box in the bottom. So a lot of people questioned his involvement. Now, obviously, it's September 25th, 2019. We found out this past weekend that Sid has passed away. And this was his final appearance on film. And the documentary, well, the portion of the documentary that was attached to night two of Three from Hell, Rob Zombie went into a little bit of detail with that, where he explained that his original script and his original intention was to have Captain Spaulding throughout the movie. Captain Spaulding, Baby, and Otis were the three from Hell. And there was, you know, snippets of the original script flashed on the screen during the documentary, which was, it was like 30 minutes of a much longer documentary. So I'm sure the, when it hits Blu-ray, there's going to be like a full 3-hour documentary. That's usually how Rob does it. He did it with the Halloween movies. He did it with Devil's Rejects. The documentaries making ofs are usually longer than the movies themselves. But he explained that, 2 or 3 weeks before filming started, he met with Sid, and Sid basically expressed to him that he physically couldn't go through all this. So they did some rewrites, and they still tried to keep Captain Spaulding in the movie throughout, but have him, you know, minimal physicality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as it got closer and closer, Rob met with Sid and realized that even that wasn't possible. So then they had to, he basically had to rewrite almost the entire story, and figure out how to work Captain Spaulding in without having him in the movie. The way they did it, and this was all by necessity. When you watch the movie, you can see. It doesn't look like the Captain Spaulding that we knew 15 years ago in Devil's Rejects. Sid is 80 years old. You know, he's been playing Captain Spaulding for 20 years since they filmed House of a Thousand Corpses back in late 1999. So you can see it in his face, and you can hear it in his voice, that he was fighting something, obviously, and it's sad now looking back on it. It's one of those things, like I remember when I saw Rogue One in theaters, and I came out of the theaters, I sat down in my car, and opened up my phone, and immediately it was all the stories that Carrie Fisher had passed, And it's like, wow, because they had done the digital de-aging of her character, and she was the last shot of Rogue One. And now with Sid passing and Three from Hell, it's similar to that. It's different, but similar. Seeing someone, knowing that this was his final appearance, it's really odd. It's strange. It's heartbreaking, but it's also, he went out playing Captain Spaulding, for lack of a better term. I mean, this is a character that defined the last 20 years of his life and career. And he's a guy who worked for over 50 years. He was a working actor for over 50 years. He has almost 150 film credits. He's been doing it since, you know, Gunsmoke back in the day. You know, the original Star Trek he was on. He was on Mission Impossible TV show. And of course, all the old blaxploitation movies, Coffee, Foxy Brown, Black Mama, White Mama, the movies with Pam Grier and Jack Hill, of course. And then he basically retired for a while. And then these young film geek directors known as Quentin Tarantino and Rob Zombie were like, hey, let's put Sid Haig in a movie. And he was in Jackie Brown, and he was in Kill Bill Volume 2. And then he was in House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. And now once again a rejuvenated icon, especially in the horror community. And he was traveling conventions with Bill Moseley, which in the documentary for Three from Hell, the two of them sit there and they talk about for a little while. The two of them travel together on the road doing these conventions. And it's a bittersweet type of thing. But let me jump into the movie, because as much as I could do another 2 hours on Sid Haig, but that's not what this type of show is about. We're talking about the movie, Three from Hell. So they open up the movie, and it's really cool. It's like it's definitely an homage to the Manson documentaries, where it's basically a documentary within a movie of the Devil's Rejects. And how did they come back to life, you ask? Because they died in the end of Devil's Rejects. They're hurled into the hospital on gurneys, all shot to shit. Over 20 bullet holes apiece, but you know what? They missed every vital organ, and they're in comas for a while, and then they go on trial. And it was well done. They're not mythical superheroes. They're not Michael Myers. They're not Jason or any of that stuff. Rob brought them back in as realistic of a way as you can bring three characters back that ended the last movie getting shot with about 80 bullets into them. But they're painted as the most deadly human beings alive. And the reason I'm really emphasizing that, I'll tell you in a second. So they go through the trial, and this was a really cool part, seeing them do the documentary thing and interviewing people on the street saying, the Frida Three, and they became pop culture icons, if you will. Definitely reminiscent of those Manson documentaries. very quickly, we get interviews with all three. Well, we get interviews with Otis and Captain Spaulding, and the Captain Spaulding interview is the only scene that Sid Haig was in. He did one day, and then cut to a voiceover over the documentary that Captain Spaulding was sentenced to death by lethal injection, and it was all done off camera, which says something about how sick at the time Sid actually was, that they had to even do that off camera. So Baby is sent to solitary confinement, and Otis is, I guess, on death row, kind of, but not really, because all of a sudden he's in the back of an open-air pickup truck. He's sitting across from Danny Trejo. They have a little I remember you from the last movie moment, and then they're working on a chain gang. They're digging a ditch out in the desert somewhere. Now, remember I said that they were painted in the opening moments of this movie as the deadliest people alive. You wouldn't put that guy out on a chain gang. You wouldn't put that guy in the back of a pickup truck. I mean, he would be Hannibal Lecter. He would be buried in the deepest, darkest, windowless cell imaginable. But it's a movie, and he needs to escape. So he does. Richard Brake shows up as Otis's long-lost half-brother or something like that. The Midnight Werewolf. A lot of howling. That's the only one I'm going to do. A lot of howling in this movie. but another family member shows up. Yeah, it's Richard Brake, of course, from he was in 31. He was in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. He's a good actor. He's a creepy motherfucker, I'll tell you that much. And he helps Otis escape. So they escape and they're on the run. There's the manhunt thing happening. The warden, another lovely, sleazy character from Rob Zombie's roster of actors. Let me pull his name up because, Jeff Daniel Phillips, who again was in 31. He was in Lords of Salem, immediately recognizable, but great character as Warden Virgil Dallas Harper. Just a sleazy dude with a sleazy mustache. So they got the manhunt going because the warden was made to look like an ass by Otis and his brother, the Midnight Werewolf, Wilson Foxworth Coltrane, a.k.a. Foxy. The names are wonderful. God bless Rob Zombie and his naming of characters. So we come across, we get their of course, signature removal of a face while they're on the run because a couple of hillbillies on the militia team find Otis and they find Foxy and they hold him up at gunpoint they hold Foxy up at gunpoint and they're like, what's going to happen here? We're going to take you in. We're going to about do this. We're going to do that. And we're going to get the reward. Well, guess what? Shotgun, face, and then the other person's face gets cut off. It's lovely. And then they go to the warden's house and they abduct the warden and his wife and their dinner guests for the evening. And it's all a plan to get Baby out of prison. And it also includes just a weird as hell scene where Clint Howard shows up as a clown. And this was a giant, like, what the hell's going on type of moment for me, because it was never explained. There was not even a single explanation for why Clint Howard's clown shows up at the warden's house at like midnight. with balloon animals, like he's there for a child's birthday party, but it's midnight. He brings the door and is just like, eh. Now, again, putting aside that question, it's a funny and violent and just overall creepy scene. but yeah, there's no explanation for the clown other than there's a clown that, you know, shows up and gets killed. So Otis gets the warden to spring baby, and she's going through. She's in prison, of course, and Dee Wallace is playing this real bitch of a sadistic guard, like real like rough women in prison type of guard, and she's having baby get into like, you know, gang fights and stuff like that, trying to get baby killed. Doesn't succeed. She ends up getting killed. Baby kills her in the warden's office during the escape. We get back, and when we get back to the house in the morning, there's just gross bloody bodies everywhere. One of the dinner guests, the guy who was over for dinner, he's shot in the gut laying on the ground. His wife is naked with blood all over. Clearly Otis has been having a fun night. The warden's wife is sitting on Foxy's lap there, and she's not having a good night either. And then they show up, and of course, all hell breaks loose. Baby shows up. She's goofy as a shithouse rat, and there's a dead clown on the couch, and then the naked woman jumps up, runs out of the house. Okay, as you do. Baby hauls off chasing her with a big-ass knife. And a funny moment, because she catches up with her and starts just basically stabbing and gutting her, and it's bloody all over the place in the middle of this residential neighborhood. Baby looks across the street, and there's this elderly woman with an oxygen tank sitting on her front lawn, and gives her a wave. It's like, all right, I guess we got to get the hell out of here. So she does. They kill the rest of the people in the house. really funny laugh out loud moment in the theater was the warden tried to sneak a gun back into the house. He ends up shooting his own wife. Hilarious. So the three from hell, which was a convenient way to reframe the nicknames, because Spaulding, Baby, Otis are still referred to in the movie as the Devil's Rejects, but now Otis, Baby, and the Midnight Werewolf are referred to as the Three from Hell. Okay, I'll buy it. They got some really cool news reports with the likes of Tom Papa playing news reporters and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. During the escape, Otis killed Danny Trejo. That's important. Trejo is playing Rondo from the Devil's Rejects. So they're on the run. They're at a motel. That doesn't work out. Baby kills a dude, carves his face up. It's a whole bloody mess. So they get on the run again. And they get to Mexico. And they check into this real shitty motel, which, of course, is, you know, a haven for the likes of the Devil's Rejects, or the Three from Hell, now that they're referred to. And instantly, the shady proprietor of this hotel or motel, I'm missing his name, but he's a recognizable character actor. He was one of the valets in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm trying to find his name. Not that it really matters at this moment while I'm doing these quick reviews. I can't find it at the moment. But he was one of the valets, and that's exactly how I recognized him from when Ferris pulls up in Cameron's father's car, and he throws the keys. He's like, "You speak English?" And he goes, "What country do you think this is?" That guy. So he runs the motel, and he immediately calls Emilio Rivera, of course, from Sons of Anarchy and Mayans, and he's like, "Hey, you know those guys that killed your father? I got them here." Again, they could have said brother, they could have said cousin, but the age gap between Danny Trejo and Emilio Rivera is a bit too close for a father-son relationship, unless Danny Trejo is the best-looking 90-year-old on the planet, because Emilio's got to be in his 50s. But anyway, that's his dad. So Emilio gets his gang of luchador masked wearing white suit motherfuckers, and they're gonna storm the motel. And we get kind of a throwback to the Charlie Altamont brothel party night scene, where it's all kind of psychedelic, and they're banging whores, and they're getting drunk, and they're doing drugs, and it's weirdly shot with all kinds of color lights. It looks like an old white zombie music video. And the morning after, they're awoken to the motel being stormed by Emilio Rivera and his gang of hoods. So the baby is really cool in this scene, because she's basically taking them all out with a bow and arrow, wearing a full-on Indian headdress. It is it's really pretty cool. The fact that she doesn't ever once pick up any of the random machine guns that the guy she's killing keeps dropping, I had a problem with, but it was also explained in the documentary that she basically getting arrested and going to jail in solitary confinement really sent her, like, she was already, you know, cuckoo's nest. Well, she's now beyond the cuckoo's nest. She is way past fuck it. But they get captured, and the biggest of the baddest of the luchador crew, I forget exactly what they're called, he's got to fight Otis. No guns, me and you, and machetes. Okay, cool. So they're having a machete sword fight there. And they're going around and around and around. A big fight, lots of blood everywhere. And they get Foxy. I'm just going to keep calling him Foxy. Midnight Werewolf, W. Foxworth Coltrane, Foxy. Richard Brake's character. And Baby, they get freed by Pancho Moeller. He was the little person actor from 31. He played the little Nazi in 31, little Spanish Nazi in that one, if you remember. He has a couple great scenes with Sherry Moon Zombie in this, where they get high and have breakfast. But he frees them, and he gets them a gun because, you know, she makes friends with him. And guess what happens? They kill everybody. They kill everybody. And they get Emilio Rivera, and they put him in one of the coffins that was meant for them, because he had three black coffins there. They put him in a coffin, and they burn him alive. It's a pretty good burn, actually. I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty good burn for a movie. And then they walk back into the motel and roll credits. So what I'm asking is, now are the three from hell just the de facto proprietors of this shoot 'em up motel in Mexico? They definitely left it open if Rob Zombie feels the need or the want or the desire to continue this story. It's definitely left open with these three, with Sherry Moon Zombie, Bill Moseley, and Richard Brake. They could definitely continue on this path. And the fact that it's making money, I mean, three nights, $2 million with demand for a fourth night, and it's going to hit home video, and I'm sure it's going to sell. I'm sure it's going to do well. I think it wouldn't surprise me. Let me put it that way. It wouldn't surprise me if in another 2-3 years tops, we get a follow-up to this movie. But yeah, so that's my quickie review here on Movies with Mike, presented by That Movie Show for Three from Hell. If you're a fan, I suggest trying to get tickets on October 14th. See it in the big screen with that crowd, because it does. It has a different feel when you're with diehard fans of this movie. If not, pick it up on October 15th. You will enjoy it. It's definitely going to be a day one buy for me when it hits Blu-ray. What do we got coming up on the show? We got Dawn of the Dead. dropping on Monday. So be sure to tell your friends to subscribe to any and all audio feeds, because not only do you get the main show, which on Monday will be the 40th anniversary of Dawn of the Dead, you get the radio show presented by Showcase Cinemas on Saturday mornings. Then you get the Movies with Mike reviews, such as this one with Three from Hell, plus Eddie's entertainment reviews, which he did Rambo Last Blood last week. I'm not sure what his second one is going to be, but I'm sure it will be dropping soon. Follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. The Facebook is facebook.com/ThatMovieShowTV. And let us know what you want us to review, whether it's on Movies with Mike, whether it's on Eddie's Entertainment, whether it's on the main show, whether it's a watch along. If you think something's that shitty that we need to sit there and watch it live, let us know on all forms of social media. And we'll see you next time. Remember, Monday, 40th anniversary, Dawn of the Dead. Do not miss it. See ya.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.